What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we got a pretty loaded show for you. We're going to be talking, obviously, a little bit more about the Trae Young trade. The last time you heard from me was my emergency pod on the actual trade itself 2 days ago. Trae Young was introduced to the Wizards today. He got a new number. The trade became official. So a lot to unpack with that news and that press conference. So I'm going to start with that. And then obviously, like I do after pretty much every single game, the Wizards lost by 21 to the New Orleans Pelicans. It's a very good tank loss, but it's also, I think, a loss that sort of showcases exactly what the plan is for the Wizards, which is to tank blatantly to make sure that they're bottom four and that they guarantee that they keep their pick in what's a really good draft class. So again, a lot to unpack in today's episode, but I want to start with Trae Young, because the trade became official today. Obviously, you had the reports, and it was all but done 2 days ago. But officially, with physicals passed, Trae Young is a Washington Wizard. He will wear number 3, which was last worn by CJ McCollum, who got traded for him. Last worn before that by Bradley Beal, who was traded in 2023. So again, for my people that are very concerned with jersey retirements, Bradley Beal, since he's left, it's been 3 years, and there's been two people already that have had his jersey number. Jordan Poole, I don't know if Jordan Poole wore number 3 with the Wizards. He might have. I have no idea. No, he was 13 with the Wizards. I think he might be 3 with the Pels. But two guys since Beal left 3 years ago have worn his number. There has yet to be a number 2 in Washington since John Wall's departure in 2020. So just to throw that out there for those people. But Trae Young is in D.C. He arrived. He met with Keith and with the team via pictures. He obviously took pictures in Wizards Threads. So if you want to see those, they're up on Bolts Forever in the story I wrote, but they're also on my Twitter if you want to scroll that to see Trae Young in his Wizards number 3 jersey. So all of that became official, a physical pass and everything. What I was definitely looking to is obviously some of the quotes, right? But to see the injury designation that the Wizards put on Trae Young, because he missed 20 games at the beginning of the year with a sprained MCL, recovered from that and played a bit, and then had missed the last 5 games with the Hawks with a right quad contusion. So it's both injuries in his right leg. One's an MCL knee sprain, and the other one is a right quad contusion. The Hawks hadn't been listing him with the MCL sprain since he returned. It was just the quad contusion for them. But the Wizards originally listed him with a right quad contusion, and then about an hour later amended the injury report to also say that he's dealing with a right MCL sprain. To me, the Hawks cleared him from the MCL sprain to not put it on the injury report. I think his MCL is probably fine and able to play. The quad contusion, that's fair game. I guess maybe the Wizards are going to be cautious, but I think what they're doing is saying, look, we're just throwing it out there that he is dealing with both of these injuries, so we can use both of these injuries when we're being cautious. And if you're listening and not watching, I just did the air quotes for cautious, because everyone knows what the Wizards are doing. It was seen with the injury report today with Trae, and it was seen in the product and the rotations that they threw out there in a game against the Pelicans that was low-key a must-lose in the grand scheme of the tanking battle. More on that later in the blatant tanking, but it's clear to see what the Wizards are doing. They're being smart with it, I guess, by sort of leaving their options open now that they have two different injuries they could list Trae out with. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if you barely see Trae Young play for the Wizards this season. I think he knows that. I think the Wizards know that. It's, matter of the fact. They have a pick to protect. They got to be bottom four record-wise to guarantee they successfully protect said pick. And I think they're going to do everything they can legally, I guess. Ethically is another word to ensure that happens. So again, it wasn't shocking to see, but it was interesting to see that they originally had a right quad contusion, then added the MCL sprain. I'm sure you'll see a pretty similar designation for Trae in most games throughout the end of the year. There's over half the season left. But again, with the Wizards protecting the pick, that seems to make sense. I mean, Brian Keefe was asked during he Brian Keefe spoke before Trae Young, and this quote's via Mark J. Spears. He says, when asked if Young would play this season, Wizards head coach Brian Keefe said the franchise is focused on getting Trae Young healthy first before designating a return. And then Trae Young said he's leaving it up to the Wizards to determine when he's coming back, and said in quotes, "Hopefully soon," end quote. So again, like it seems like both Keith and Young and obviously Dawkins, like they all know what's going on, and they understand that. I'm sure Trae Young understands it to the point where they have a pick to protect, and best case scenario is they lose a lot more games and they ensure it. And Trae Young does not need to return this year. Trae Young needs to be available next year if he does opt in for the Wizards. But it makes sense, right, to where the Wizards are just not going to play him a bunch. And Knicks fans are going to be mad because if the Wizards don't get their pick in the top eight, the Knicks get it. And Knicks fans were throwing a premature celebration because, the Washington Wizards got Trae Young, and they were like, well, they're already almost outside the bottom four. We're going to get another top 10 pick and all that. Like, I think the Knicks fans have been like this for the entire last couple years since the Wizards were tanking and own the protections on these picks. Like, Knicks fans would make mock trades for Corey Kispert, mock trades for Bilal Coulibaly, mock trades for, other guys on the team, Kuzma as well when he was on the Wizards, and saying, like, the Wizards will just give them to us if we give them their protected pick back. And I'd always try to stress to the Knicks fans that the Wizards are going to make sure they keep their pick. They're tanking for a reason. You're not going to get that pick. It's not going to happen unless there's some sort of fluke. And Knicks fans are up in arms about the Wizards and about the fact that they got excited for 5 seconds before realizing that the Wizards know. The Knicks fans like thought the Wizards had no idea about the protections on the pick, and we're just going to be like, oh my God, what happened? We didn't get our pick. We should have done something about that. That's not the case. The Wizards know. They've been known the last couple of years, especially this year. And I think they're going to do what they can, clearly, to keep that pick. Knicks fans have every right to be annoyed with the pretty blatant tanking. And again, we'll get to that when we do the Pelicans recap. But if you're, a Knicks fan thinking you're going to get this pick, I think it's a slim, slim chance you do. And for you to not think the Wizards know is pretty crazy. But that was certainly something I took away from the presser. It doesn't seem to be too much of a rush, right, to get Trae Young back in the lineup. Some other things, and this is courtesy of my friend Ben Strober over at Locked On Wizards. Some of these quotes I just wanted to share from Trae because I thought they were pretty interesting. He said, quote, "We're getting an elite playmaker." This is what Brian Keefe said about Trae Young. "We're getting an elite playmaker. It's going to enhance our young players and that capability, specifically Alex Sarr," end quote. Thought that was interesting from Keith. Trae Young said he wanted Washington because he thinks DC is overlooked as a big market. That was certainly, I think, a response that a lot of fans enjoyed. Again, the Wizards have struggled to attract big name free agents, and guys like Trae Young wanting to come to DC is certainly something. I would sort of ease the parade or hold off on the parade of, wow, it's so nice to hear that, a player of this caliber said he wants to come to DC. Like, through reporting, it seems there was probably other teams Trae preferred, and DC was sort of like this is where you're probably going to end up. It's the only team that can afford you and the only team that has what we want. It might extend you, etc. So again, like, Trae said all the right things, I think, in today's press conference. He also, what I thought was interesting was he was getting interviewed by Monumental's Megan McPeak during the game, and he said he's already excited to invite the guys being his Wizards teammates, to work out with them in LA over the offseason. And he looks forward to having his one-on-ones with Bilal Coulibaly for years to come. The years to come, obviously plural, like that does sort of suggest he is at least speaking as if he's going to be here way beyond this season, whether he gets an extension or whether he opts into his player option. He seemed like a guy that was speaking from, as someone who wants to be here and will be here for the next year or two, with some of his comments. Again, that's just him saying the right things. It's not meaning anything until he opts in or he signs an extension here. But if you're a Wizards fan that's concerned he's going to leave after this season and opt out and sign elsewhere, I think, based on his comments today, and that's all I can base this off of, he sounds like someone who will be here. And we'll see, if that's true, and if he's, really speaking like that, and if his actions meet his words. But I thought that was certainly interesting. And then the last thing that I'll sort of share about it is, He obviously talked about throwing lobs to Alex Saar, and really what he can do for his game, which again, when they traded for Trey, I said Saar would benefit the most from it, and Trey seemingly knows that. He talked about finding Bilal cutting to the basket. He talked about, the fact that he's excited to not have to play against Bilal because, again, the past, Bilal has really done awesome work on Trey on the defensive end. Obviously, that length pretty disruptive for a smaller guard like Trey. So, spoke really highly of Sarge, really highly of Bilal and the Wizards' young core as a whole, their work ethic, how much they love the grind, always in the gym, which pretty much, like he said, fits his description of himself. So, nice to see. Seems like he's excited about the opportunity. Opportunity to be a leader for this up and coming young core and maybe take the next step with them. Again, like I said, it's all words now, and until the actions meet them, you're more than, welcome to not buy it. But that's sort of a synopsis of what I noticed from Trae Young. In his opening remarks. Seems excited to be here, and that's really all you can ask for in terms of a guy you just acquired, via trade. So that was some of my notes on that, and now moving forward to the actual game that was played, the Wizards welcomed the Pelicans and welcomed Jordan Poole, who received pretty loud boos. I thought over the broadcast it sounded pretty loud. I had someone comment under my post that they were at the game, and it was very loud. If you don't know, and I saw a lot of people that were sort of surprised, as to why Wizards fans were booing Jordan Poole, a guy who last year was a fan favorite, and a lot of people, really enjoyed going to Wizards games to watch a guy like Jordan Poole. And a lot of people were like, why are they booing him? And so obviously I want to pull it up real quick because if you don't know, he made some comments this offseason about Capital One Arena. He also made a comment about the fact that he was excited to play with Kevon Looney because he hasn't had a good screen in years, which is obviously throwing shade at his Wizards teammates who had played with, since playing with Looney in Golden State. So that was one. But the real thing I think that pissed Wizards fans off was, he was asked about the Pelicans' home crowd. And he said, quote, "I went back and I told all my people, like, it feels so good to be in an environment where the fans are engaged and you can feel the electricity in there. You can feel the fans chanting. Like, the last 2 years, dead in there. It was dead in Capital One," end quote. Capital One meaning Capital One Arena, which is where the Wizards play. I mean, it's pretty blatant shade. And the funny thing is, Jordan Poole was always like, the fans are awesome here. Love the fans, hyping up the fans. Which clearly was all BS, because the second he gets traded to the Pelicans, that's two times, in the offseason, realistically, that he's thrown shade at the Wiz, whether it's the players or the fan base. So clearly, that irks some fans, and they let him know it tonight. Anytime he touched the ball, for the most part, they booed him. So I thought that was fascinating. Obviously, some fans were like, that's not warranted. I think it completely is warranted. He was good his couple years here. That's fine. Got traded. And then immediately started bad-mouthing the team and its fan base. So, like, if you're Poole, you can't expect to see, receive a warm welcome, when those are some of the comments that you make. And he was terrible, by the way. I was going to tweet something out, like, points scored tonight inside Capital One Arena. Jordan Poole, 0. Trae Young, 0. With a little asterisk next to Trae Young. And then, saying that Trae Young did not play in this game because Trae didn't play and Jordan played 12 minutes off the bench, didn't score, was, I believe, 0 for 2 in his 12 minutes, was a minus 6, 3 turnovers, 1 assist. Just looked terrible, 4 fouls. Again, like, not going to try to kick a guy when he's down. He's not having the best season, been injured a lot. But obviously, when he makes comments like that, that's going to be at the forefront of some of the discourse tonight. It obviously makes that trade so great. It was already great because the Wizards were able to trade him to get McCollum. Then that expiring deal, right, was so enticing to Atlanta to clear the cap space that they were able to get a guy like Trae Young for pretty cheap. And so that trade was great in and of itself. And the fact that CJ far outplayed Jordan Poole this year. So they got the better player in the deal, got the expiring contract in the deal, turned it into Trae Young, and Jordan Poole is playing like this. It makes that deal a lot sweeter. So obviously 0 points for Poole. I thought he was really terrible in this game for New Orleans, especially after those comments. So obviously that's at the forefront. But my biggest takeaway from this game is if you are a Wizards fan that had voiced your concern Before the Trae Young trade, when the Wiz were 7-5 over their last 12 games, when they were 5-2 over their last seven, before that Sixers loss, if you were one of those fans that were concerned they would lose their top eight protected pick, and they were winning way too many games, and then even after the Trae Young trade, you were concerned that his insertion into the lineup at point guard would make them way too good, and they're doing too much right now, and they need to keep the pick. They don't know what they're doing. This game against New Orleans should serve as the perfect example of why I tried to tell you guys and those types of fans to just calm down and enjoy the wins, because this team knows the assignment. Will Dawkins, Brian Keefe, they all know, right? They're all in on it. And they understand that they need to be bottom four to guarantee they keep their top eight protected pick. And tonight was one of the biggest blatant tank jobs I've seen. And again, like, I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad thing, but I can't sit here and call out other teams like the Jazz last year who decided to make up injuries for Lauri Markkanen so that they could tank. Other teams like the Nets who certainly are not playing a lot of guys that probably should be playing as they're tanking. In the years past, I've called it out too. The Sixers last year was one of the most blatant tank jobs ever, and they got rewarded for it by keeping their pick, which is ridiculous. So I can't call it out for those teams and not call it out for the Wizards, because tonight was pretty just blatant tanking. And the biggest red flag to me is you have Marvin Bagley, who had come off the bench as your backup big for most of the year, and when Sar was not healthy, he was starting a bunch of games for you. So again, like when Bagley was healthy, he's missed a couple games this year. When he's been healthy, he has been in the rotation either as a starter or as the primary backup to Sar. And tonight was the first game all season where he simply was available and got a DNP coach's decision. They played Tristan Vukcevic 23 minutes off the bench over Marvin Bagley. And Tristan has had some moments this year. He's had some really bad moments this year too. But he has been far, far, far worse than Marvin Bagley. And he played over Bagley tonight. There's no merit for it in terms of if you're trying to win a game, you're playing Tristan Vukcevic over Marvin Bagley. That's false. If the Wizards were in the playoffs right now and they were trying to win games, I can tell you right now, 100 times out of 100, Marvin Bagley is playing these minutes and Tristan Vukcevic is getting a DNP coach's decision. Maybe he plays in garbage time with the Wizards down 20 tonight, but that's just a big red flag in and of itself. And again, I'm not mad at the team for what they're doing. I get it. There's bigger cards to be played, bigger things at stake, and that pick is the most important thing alongside development. So I understand it, right? Especially against an opponent like the Pelicans, that it's like a two for one. You lose, which is great, but they also win, which puts them, at 9 wins, ends their long losing streak, pulls you guys closer in the tank standings. Like, I get it, but the Wizards are you're gonna have to be prepared to be called out, because if I'm a Knicks fan, obviously I'm pissed, because it's pretty blatant that the Wizards are doing this. Now, Knicks fans can't cry because you blatantly cheated the rules by tampering for Jalen Brunson, and now you got him. So, and they got penalized. I don't know if they lost a first round pick or a second round pick. Whatever it was, the punishment was not enough. Because I tell you right now, the Knicks, if you do something that's illegal and you get called out for it, you get penalized for it, and you ask them, well, would you do it again? And they say, oh, 100 times out of 100, then clearly the punishment didn't fit the crime. And the Knicks fans would say, oh, I'd give up whatever pick they got penalized for all day if it means that I made sure I got Brunson, right? He's turned the team around. And so Knicks fans are mad, and the Wizards should get punished. The punishment last year for like the Jazz tanking was 100K. And then if they do it again, it's like 250K. If it's another, example of it, the Wizards will pay that 10 times out of 10, make it a million, make it 2 million. The Wizards don't care as long as they're making sure that they keep their pick this year. So again, I understand Knicks fans being mad, but they really can't be, because how blatantly they sort of cheated the rules a couple years ago. That being said, they do have a point. It's blatant at this point. It's only going to get worse, guys. And then again, this is why I wrote an article, Bolts Forever, and the title was, yes, the Wizards will keep their pick, so just enjoy these wins. That was when they were on their sort of winning streak-ish, winning 7 out of 12, because Wizards fans were concerned. And I had to tell them, like, look, this is a cool patch where everyone's playing well and the young guys are developing, but they're going to start to showcase why You should really enjoy these wins, and they did it again tonight. I mean, in the first half, Tristan Vukcevic led the team with 10 shots off the bench. A guy that typically doesn't play for them if they're trying to win leads the team with 10 shots. That in and of itself was a pretty big showcase of it. AJ Johnson and Malachi Branham, who for the first 25-ish games of the season were getting DNP coaches' decisions, AJ Johnson getting sent down to the G League. The last couple of games, and certainly tonight, they've been playing a lot of minutes. I mean, AJ was 16, Malachi Branham with 24 off the bench. You know, it gets to a point where you can't just sit here and say that they're not like they're ethically tanking. They were ethically tanking a couple of a week or two ago when they were winning all those games, even though they had this pick at the forefront. I don't believe it's hard to say it's not ethical, right? Because I don't think the league can punish the Wizards for just saying and I'm sure if Keith gets asked about it, he'll have the similar answer. If you're like, why didn't Marvin Bagley play? He'd been playing all year. He's been much better than Tristan Vukcevic. Why are you giving Vukcevic minutes? It's the tanking thing. And Keith be like, no. Like, we're a young team. Tristan's young. Marvin's played a lot this year. We wanted to, give another guy some reps and sort of see what he can do against a good Pelicans team. Like, if you're Adam Silver, can you prove that that is directly related to tanking? Like, I don't think so. And so if the Wizards just don't make up false injuries and just say, look, if you think we're tanking, that's your prerogative, but we're just trying to, hey, man, we're just trying to get other guys reps. Like, don't come at us for just trying to make sure our guys are developing. And if you're the Wizards, like, in the back of your mind, you're tanking. But other teams can, and other people can say all they want that they're annoyed, but I don't think it's unethical. Like, it's if Adam Silver wants to make a rule that suggests that if they think a guy should be playing over another guy, then they can call it tanking for your team, then sure. But Adam Silver's shown an unwillingness in the past to punish tanking. And if the Wizards are sort of doing it within the rules, not making up injuries and stuff like that, it seems to me that it's within the rules, as crazy as that sounds. So I'm not upset that the Wizards are doing this. I think other fan bases have a right to be annoyed and upset about it. I don't think it's unethical or illegal, but it is tanking. Whether the Wizards admit it or not, and whether you as a fan believe it or not, it is. And so if this is a common theme, that's unfortunate, I think, because Marvin's played awesome. He's been arguably a top five player on this team this season. He's averaging about 10 and 5 off the bench in 20 minutes a game on 60% from the field, 50% from three, So it's unfortunate for him not playing, and this is a one night thing. Like, I don't know if this is going to be the case going forward, but that's certainly interesting, and that was the biggest red flag to me to showcase that, the team is sort of taking a step in the right direction, I guess, when it comes to tanking. And for those fans that were really concerned about keeping the pick, tonight should probably ease your concerns. My dad said the same thing to me. I tweeted it in my post game final score tweet. If you were concerned, you shouldn't be if you watch this game, because this showcased to me that Will Dawkins, Brian Keefe, they all know the goal. Now that they have Trey, and that'll probably be reflected in how much Trey Young plays and how much Vukcevic and Bagley and other guys play as well. So again, like, they got blown out, and we haven't really talked about the game much. It was close in the first quarter. They were down 10 at half, and then sort of got, beaten every quarter, but New Orleans pulled away. They couldn't guard Zion down low. They couldn't defend Trey Murphy on the perimeter. Again, like, this is not much to talk about. Trey Johnson, sort of 12 points, showcased his range, was also a minus 29, which is wild. Like, the bench played really well, and the starters got severely outplayed, which I don't think is a good thing. Like, Sarr had 14 points and one rebound. But again, got, I think, bullied down low by Zion and others, especially Missy, and was a minus 31 with three fouls. Again, didn't think he made too much of an impact on the game. In terms of Bilal, minus 26, only took six shots. You had seen him drop 18, 14 the game before because he was being ultra aggressive. So not exactly excited to see him dropping to six shots. But again, it, I guess, will happen time to time. It was nice to see Keyshawn George return to the starting lineup. He had missed seven games in a row with a right hip flexor strain. Returned to the lineup tonight. I thought he looked pretty fluid. It is minutes played 24. I don't know if he's on a minutes restriction. 15 points on 6 of 13 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, 5 boards, 2 assists, 4 turnovers again, not great. 4 fouls again, not great. Got taken out pretty early in the third because of an offensive foul. So it really didn't make too much of an impact again because of foul trouble. But again, didn't think he was awesome, but just nice to see that he was back and you know, still efficient from three, got to the lane, went through Derrick Queen a couple of times. So he'll ease his way back into it, missed 7 games, but nice to see Keyshawn back. In terms of the bench, Champagne, 12 points, 9 boards, 4 assists, 0 turnovers. Again, 3 offensive rebounds. He was awesome. No notes. He's just solid. Had some, you know, a couple dunks, one emphatically in transition. Awesome on the glass all night. So really pretty similar stuff for Champagne. Malachi Branham was honestly not bad. Plus 14, highest on the team in 24 minutes, 10 points, 2 of 3 from 3, made all 4 his free throws, 3 boards. I liked how he was able to, you know, impact the game on both ends. Again, I don't think he's like a piece to this rebuild whatsoever. He's an expiring after this year. The Wizards will probably let him walk. Probably won't re-sign him, but didn't think he was particularly bad. Bob Carrington, a little bit inefficient, 3 of 8 from 3, 11 points. But again, five boards, 4 assists. Thought he got others involved and, you know, didn't shoot it as well as he typically does from three, but made some deep ones. So again, not too upset. Like if this were Bob Carrington 3 weeks ago, fans would have been like, you know what, this isn't bad. But obviously, after he's, you know, sort of went nuclear for a week and a half, this is a little bit of a tempered game for Bob. AJ Johnson, 16 minutes, 6 points, 3 of 6 from the field. Again, thought he had a couple good drives. 6 boards was nice. He can be a little erratic at times, and you know, you certainly see that, you know, whenever he is playing big minutes. But thought he was all right tonight. Tristan Vukcevic again. It's not like he was bad tonight. I thought honestly, and this is crazy for coming from me, protecting the paint, Tristan Vukcevic, this was the best I have ever seen him play defensively. Now, when he had a guy that was, you know, sort of going one-on-one with him, that was a different story, especially, you know, a big guy like Zion. But in terms of pure rim protection, and a lot of his blocks came, you know, in help defense where he was trailing or when he was, you know, coming over from the, you know, weak side to help. Or some, there was a block where his man was on the 3-point line. He cheated inside, really good play recognition and blocked it. He finished with 5 blocks, which I didn't check, but that certainly has to be a career high for Tristan. I can't remember him having any more than 2 in any game. But 5 blocks tonight, thought he was superb, you know, in terms of protecting the rim, was a plus 10. Really enjoyed that aspect of his game. Got to the line 10 times, made 7 of them, but I liked his aggressiveness. I liked how he attacked, drew fouls, blocked shots. That was great. He was also 4 of 14 from the floor, missed all 4 of his 3s. A couple of them I thought were forced and pretty bad looks. So, in terms of his efficiency, 15 points on 4 of 14, not good. I'm going to choose to be positive, right? And sort of harp on the fact that he had 5 blocks, and that's awesome to see that rim protection from a guy that isn't known for rim protection, and a guy that I've come on here and sort of stated that I was disappointed in the lack of progression around the rim and defensively for him. So I think like on ball he can certainly get better, and that was showcased tonight. But rim protecting wise, his best game as a pro, and that's always nice to sort of see that. Like apart from that, there's not really too much to talk about from tonight's game. It was a pretty blah effort from this team. Not really close. Like they cut it to 10 in the fourth quarter, but New Orleans sort of ran away with it after a timeout. But this is probably going to be the new normal, right? Like Trae Young is probably going to be out, whether the Wizards decide to list him with an MCL sprain or decide to list him with a quad contusion, or like tonight, maybe it's both. But I think it's going to be few and far between, if any, that you see Trae Young in a Wizards uniform this season. And then the effort and the rotations, right? Like I would be frustrated if I'm a Wizards fan that Marvin Bagley has been playing so well is not playing, because you want to give Tristan Vukcevic minutes, and we all know it's really because they're tanking. And maybe later down the line you start to see that with other guys where, you know, they want to say, you know, we want Will Riley obviously and Jameer Watkins, you know, to play. And maybe that means like a, dare I say, a Champagne gets moved out of the rotation because you want to see them get minutes. Again, I'm not saying that's the case, but It sort of, happened tonight where you have Marvin Bagley, who's been great all year, and you decide to say, "Hey, we're not going to play him because we want to see Tristan get minutes." When all Wizards fans know it's because they're tanking and they want to keep the pick. You shouldn't be mad if you're a Wizards fan because that's what you've been arguing and complaining and being concerned about for so long. Like, if you're one of those people, you got to be thrilled. You got to be on cloud nine after this type of performance, after you see that Trae Young probably won't play much this season. But obviously, that's certainly something to consider. I was just looking at my notes real quick. I really don't have any. I got through them all. So that's probably gonna wrap it up for this episode. Some notes on Trae Young in that presser, recap of the game where the Wizards are pretty much shifting from this really good stretch to a, oh, okay, let's slow our roll. We're gonna tank a little bit. And look, I'm not afraid to sit up here and say it. Like, maybe some people within the organization might be upset that someone like me is calling it out. And again, there's no ill intentions, but like, I can't sit up here and tell you honestly and truthfully that this team isn't tanking. They are. Marvin Bagley not playing is sort of the perfect example, the big red flag. Like, if you're trying to win basketball games, which they're clearly not, Marvin Bagley plays over Vucevic 10 out of 10 times, and he didn't tonight. And if someone within the Wizards org is upset that I'm saying it, then you come on here and explain to me that you would play Tristan Vucevic over Marvin Bagley if you're trying to win. And maybe I'd say, you know what, you got it. But that's not going to happen, right? So again, they're tanking, and that'll probably be what they're going to do for the rest of the season. They are 37 games in, 45 remaining, probably going to be tanking for all 45. But again, that's not the worst thing in the world. They need to keep the pick. It's a great draft class. So not mad at it, but it is the case, right? Looking at the standings, like I try to close every pod with, if I do remember, the Wizards, obviously, it's a good tank loss because at 10-27, again, they are 2 games firmly inside the bottom four. They are still 2.5 games better than the Pelicans, but only 1 game better in the win column. It's because the Pelicans have played 3 more games than them, have 4 more losses. Sacramento 8 wins. Indiana won the other night, snapped that 13-game losing streak. They're at 7 wins. And then you got Brooklyn at 11. You have Charlotte and Utah, who've been playing sort of better lately at 13 wins. Dallas and LA at 14. They're playing better basketball, especially LA, who's 8-2 in their last 10. They seemingly are sort of separating themselves from the pack. Dallas is as well. Utah's playing better ball, but they're still sort of in the bottom. So there's about 7 teams, I'd say, that are in this sort of tanking battle. And the Wizards clearly think it's a little too close, right? Based on what they've done the last couple of games, and certainly tonight. So again, that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. Thanks for listening. The support on the tweets, I should say, since the Trae Young trade has been so awesome and so great. Again, I can't thank you enough for following along, liking, retweeting, engaging, commenting, DMing me, because I try to respond to all the DMs about realistically anything that has to do with the Trae Young stuff or any Wizard stuff. Means a lot to me. The support on the pod, I think it was like 1,000+ views, and I can't tell you, I don't really look at views, but I know that that's a lot for these YouTube videos. So that was really cool to see about the Trae Young trade reaction pod. But again, thanks all for all the support, as always. Means the world. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. I believe the Wizards return on Sunday, and I'll be back, obviously, to break that one down. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, as always. Go Wiz.